And it is 10 a.m. You are tuned to KBOO in Portland, and coming right up will be Air Cascadia, followed by Flashpoints. And then at 11, we'll hear the Recovery Zone. So do stay tuned to your community radio station.
At KBOO, we have a dynamic community of 500 volunteers doing everything from front desk work, janitorial work, community reporting, hosting information booths, clerical support, news writing, documentary making, engineering live music, operating soundboards, working in the music library, and many, many other things. KBOO absolutely depends on volunteers to carry out the work of the station. We are always looking for new volunteers. We have monthly volunteer orientations, which is the first step in getting involved. Contact KBOO Volunteer Coordinator Ani Haynes about the next volunteer orientation at 503-231-8032 extension 231 or at volunteer@kboo.org.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, September 25th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Border Patrol up to the north of us is about to share records with Washington traffic stops in settlements with immigrant advocates, because apparently we've been not only limiting racial profiling to the southern borders and more intensely New York City streets, but now we've got going on the northern borders as many people who are back and forth in that vicinity and who are of a darker skin tone will be happy to inform you. It's become a bit of a problem. And the Oregon state government, Kitzhaber leading the charge, is going to plunge into a special session. The plans are to cut public employee pensions which have been promised to people. They lived their entire working lives in the expectation of these pensions, all their plans, all their dreams tied up in this, and about to be snatched off the table because of not through any fault of their own, but simply as a result of many, many years of bad planning. And the idea is also to revise the tax code. That's another part of the plan for the special session, as well as, and now get this, wait for it, prohibit local governments from banning genetically modified crops. How that is going to bolster Oregon's flagging economy is a little bit difficult to understand. All of this, of course, taking into account and what we're about to be considering is Senator Ron Wyden's plans for selling off public land to private timber companies in order to fund rural communities that have had 100 years to figure out how to support themselves and are only now beginning to wake up to the fact that they're out of trees as well as out of money. We'll also be speaking later in the program with University of San Francisco, UC San Francisco, Stephen Zunis in the Department of Politics and particularly Middle Eastern politics. He'll be joining us to talk a bit about how the new opening, the dialogue with Iran, Syria, Bashar al-Assad, and of course, the new Iranian President Rouhani are eager to speak with President Obama, just as Obama has always said that that had been his intention. We'll see how that alters the power structures, the architecture of power in the Middle East. It certainly puts Israel on the back foot. More from regional news stories as we get into the show. First, the weather, however. We look for scattered showers today, otherwise cloudy. Highs near 61, not much in the way of winds. And tonight, areas of fog, but late, otherwise overcast, and lows around 47. Yes, it is getting cooler. For tomorrow, areas of fog before at sea, mostly sunny tomorrow afternoon. Look for a high around 67, and tomorrow night, 48. So, moving right along in the alternative forecast, we have a waning gibbous root moon in Taurus. The moon is 20 days old, and our cyanotic farming friends suggest it's a good time for root vegetables, of course. Also, berries, bulbs, onions, spaniels, and perennials. You know, it's not a bad idea to get stuff in the ground now. Don't wait for spring. Let it become let your new plants, trees, shrubs, bushes, whatever, become acclimated to the soil in your area over the winter, and it'll be ready to go in spring. The biodynamic people point out that with the moon in Taurus, it's an earth sign, so concentrate on root plants, and the sidereal also in agreement. The moon in Taurus suggests it's the right time for root vegetables, especially when hardiness and drought conditions is needed. And with the jet stream currently splitting in two, we could get drought conditions as well as plenty of other strange conditions along with that. So that's it for your alternative and your conventional forecast. We're going to usually in the normal course of events, we try to talk Cascadia for the first few moments of the show. However, we are so fortunate to have Stephen Zunis joining us today that I want to welcome Stephen to the KBOO airwaves immediately, because of course this does indeed affect all of us to a certain extent. We are responsible for the actions of our government, and our government is seriously on the back foot. The Middle East, whatever else one might say about the region, certainly has got diplomacy down to a fine art, and particularly Iran. Looking at the history of that country, diplomacy was birthed in Iran, and which is to say nothing of Syria as well, and Iraq. People are skilled negotiators. The words mean a great deal, and words are about to be shared. Obama is going to be struggling to keep up here, and Israel no longer finds itself with quite as much political leverage, perhaps. Stephen, what sort of leverage does this new openings, these new conversations have?
Oh, it's certainly an opportunity for the countries to talk, and that's unfortunately been unusual. This rather bizarre attitude has been creeping in recent years, particularly during the Bush administration, though we've seen some of this both before and after, that says, well, if there's a nasty regime we don't like, even talking with them is somehow a sign of weakness on our part. You know? But when of course, diplomacy of hundreds of years is that you talk with your enemies. You know that you try to figure things out. That's how you avoid war. That's how you try to gain some diplomatic leverage. And even though there are many aspects of President Obama's policies in the Middle East I disagree with, I give him credit for being more open than we have in among some more recent administrations to actually be willing to talk with governments we don't like.
And there has been a bit of Palestinian-Israeli trouble recently. It looks a little suspicious coming at the timing, and of course being used as yet another means to open up more settlements. Israel is somewhat left out of this conversation, and yet Obama has stated that now is the time to reignite two-state talks again. Where does Israel fit in to the conversation?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting contrast. Historically, in dealing with countries like Iran in Syria, it's been, historically, in any kind of negotiations, you need, whether they be friends or enemies, and you want them to do something, you need to provide both incentives and disincentives. You need to apply both carrot and stick. With Syria and Iran, though, the United States has historically used all stick and no carrot, and with Israel, all carrot and no stick. And so it's not surprising that the negotiations have not gotten anywhere in any of these cases. And the fact is whatever America's historical commitment to Israel may be, the fact is that Israel is, at this stage in history, the main obstacle to the peace process moving forward because of their continuation of the building these illegal settlements in violation of the Fourth Geneva Convention, a landmark World Court decision, and no less than four previous UN Security Council resolutions. And so for the United States to say, okay, despite the asymmetry in power between the Israeli occupier and those under occupation, both sides need to work it out among themselves. We're not going to put any pressure on the occupier, and that's just a non-starter. The United States needs to practice tough love. You know, basically saying, "Hey, we'll support your right to exist. We'll support your right of self-defense, but we're not to support you engaging in the illegal occupation and colonization of another person's country."
Well, Obama now, just before we let you go, Obama now is not obviously seeking another term in office, so he can afford to take somewhat, well, I guess for Obama, bold steps here, and offend AIPAC and other powerful interests in this country. But what can he do? Does he have anything at all that he can deploy, as it were, to stop the settlements, which would definitely, that's the first step.
He could definitely stop the settlements simply by being willing to suspend all the billions of dollars of aid that the United States gives to Israel every year. And when the presidents have put their foot down before, whether it be Eisenhower and the Suez crisis, Reagan, the AWACS sale, Bush Sr. and the first loan guarantee controversy, throughout history, if a president says no to Israel, and because they really need to believe that, including Obama and the Hagel nomination, AIPAC can't stop them. It's more of a matter of political will. And I think it's also a matter of the American people making sure that our members of Congress, including the Democrats, stop pushing Obama from the right as they have, making it more difficult for him to move on these kinds of issues. So it's not like he's powerless against AIPAC. It's just that he so far has not shown the will. and the American people have not mobilized in the cause of peace sufficiently.
At the end of the, so now the UN General Assembly's meeting, it seems that that Obama has solicited dialogue, and then backed away from it. Just your final thoughts on how the direction that Iran and the Syrian government seem to be evolving.
Well, in the case of Iran, there is a more moderate leadership, at least in terms of the presidency, and there may be a shift overall towards a more accommodating stance. The question is, will the United States be able to welcome this and encourage this, which would give some hope and some leverage to the more moderate forces of Iran, or is it going to continue this very hard line policy of refusing to do substantive negotiations, relying on threats and the like, which would only encourage the hardliners?
Stephen, thank you so much for this. We really appreciate your time. Do you have any sources or any references that you might suggest listeners take a look at that you feel are trustworthy?
Well, I think the Foreign Policy in Focus, for which I'm a contributor, FPIF.org, a project at the Institute for Policy Studies, has had some good analysis on Middle Eastern issues, and a more detailed level, especially in the internal dynamics of some of the countries in question, the Middle East Research and Information Project, MERIP, MERIP.org, also has some very good sources.
Many thanks. We've been speaking with Stephen Zunis, professor of Middle Eastern Study and Politics at the University of California in San Francisco. Thanks again for that. I want to just return us to Cascadia before we go out. Maybe it's going to take a little off the head of steam that Nestle and the casino industry have been running on. Or maybe the trolls who live under the bridges and the fairies who live at the bottom of the garden will start hiring again. Whatever the case, Google is back in the gorge and local officials have clamoring to hand over tax breaks. Whatever the local officials there